Hey everybody, welcome to the Sports Day HS podcast. I am Mike Florek. I have the crew here with me as always. We got the mysterious Matt Wixon.
Ooh.
He's actually the lineman.
I'm the lineman.
With the ghost lineman with the helmet.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah. I like
dated
that.
Reference.
Yeah, explain that for the
that's
people.
That's a classic.
That's Avi Zalin over here, digital expert.
Yeah, we that was really cool. I actually, at Alan Eagles, tweeted at us the other day that the photo from the Alan Evangel Christian game where Jay Lee, our awesome photographer, one of our awesome photographers, he caught this photo where the Evangel lineman was getting, you know, it was blocking, and I guess his helmet flew off, and Jay Lee was able to capture the photo where the helmet is midair standing.
It's
exactly,
like right at like a level of a
yeah,
head.
It's yeah. like level of like where a player would be, and the helmet's directly upright, like perfectly. And so like at home, like in America, I'll preface it by saying that, like Bleacher Report picked it up, SB Nation picked it up, CBS Sports picked it up. Like it was really cool stuff. And then at Alan Eagles tweeted at us the other day a picture from a French newspaper that had printed it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
From Le Sport.
Le
Sport.
Should also introduce Joe Hoyt, staff writer.
But you don't have to do that.
Young guy.
Young guy.
Bringing the hipness to the pod.
Bringing that fire content.
Yeah.
Batting cage.
Champion.
Conqueror.
Yeah. So, I mean, first of all, just on that French newspaper, do we get like rights for that? I feel like we should get
so
some
they
cash.
Credited Jay Lee's Twitter.
Oh, okay.
Which is a very sneaky way to go about doing that.
Yeah, all right. So let's continue the Allen kind of theme here.
Oh, transition.
Allen, new unanimous number one in our area rankings. We talked last week of whether we were underrating them, and then DeSoto comes out and barely escapes from Midland, 49-43. Mm-hmm. Allen comes through with a 22-point win. I was a little surprised to see it was unanimous. I was kind of going back and forth.
I was torn, actually, even though it was unanimous. Because I believe DeSoto has the best win of the two this year, the win over Denton Guyer, because it was so
convincing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think if I go over the full 3 weeks at this point, I'd put Allen a little ahead of DeSoto. Although it is not easy to go to Midland and play anybody, and Midland's not a bad team.
I don't know much about Midland, but I was reading up. I mean, like, while it was going, and by reading up, I mean random tweets. And yes, research in 2016.
Research 2016.
Millennial
yeah.
reading up.
Yeah, I was checking their Wikipedia page. And I don't know. I'm not doubting that Midland's a good team, but it sounded like DeSoto, it should have never been that close. And I really docked DeSoto a lot of Avi points for that. Like, come on. Like, DeSoto was behind. Like, they needed Sean Robinson to do everything and more. And he totaled, like, 479 yards, total offense between passing and rushing. And then I think, like, what, seven total touchdowns or something like that? I mean, they needed him to have a Herculean effort. And he bailed out their defense.
Yeah, for me, it was just more of like both teams I don't think played their best game in week three. And it was 21-20 with Allen in the third quarter against Coppell. And then they found a way to just kind of wear him out and roll to the 22-point victory. So that to me kind of showed like two good teams, two not having their best day, and Allen was still able to comfortably roll to a victory here. So that was it for me. Joe, what was your kind of thoughts with voting out number one?
I mean, you guys kind of touched on a lot of things. You know, it was definitely a tear between the two to choose who was going to, you know, be number one. I kind of went with Allen because, you know, it just about how close, you know, that DeSoto game was. But, you know, kind of like Matt mentioned, I mean, it isn't easy probably going out to Midland and playing a team on the road like that. So, I mean, and it proved that Sean Robinson can come through in the clutch for DeSoto, so I thought that was big. But Allen was just kind of more stable, and they've been kind of stable and consistent the first 3 weeks. So, and you know, it kind of spices up to have a new number one.
And honestly, the weird thing about Allen is that if you look at that district, like, they're really going to have one hard game the rest of the regular season, and that's going to be against Guyer. Like, I really thought that Plano East was going to give them a run for their money, but Plano East, unless they get certain things turned around very quickly, they look to be a step behind Allen, a significant one or two steps behind Allen at this point in the season. So Allen might be undefeated in the regular season again.
Let's just kind of look elsewhere. We're through 3 weeks now. I think we're starting to really start to figure stuff out. I don't know. I don't know if you guys feel that's the case, but we got 3 weeks.
You're ahead of the curve.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. That's what my mom tells me.
Mike Florek figuring stuff out.
Yeah. So, I mean, you look at a team like Flower Mound Marcus. We had some, there were some expectations for them coming into the year, and then they lose to Arlington Bowie in week one by 1 point, and then they rebound with two big, pretty big wins here. Beat Mansfield last week by 10 points. And now we vault them up to, I think they're 11 or 12 in our rankings now. So I think on the opposite side, you have Plano East, who lost their first game to Duncanville, close game, and then beat Jesuit, and then lost again this week to Arlington. And now maybe we had them ranked a little too high. Just kind of what's your overall takeaways of this season 3 weeks in?
Well, I'd say, and this is kind of going to a total statewide view, it seems more wide open in both 6A and 5A than recent memory. And I'll just throw in, I mean, the fact that Katy is now 1-2 and their only win was in two overtimes. And that was our preseason number one state team in 6A and the defending champs. And they've played in four straight state championship games. You mentioned Marcus. I mean, I think they're a great story showing at how kind of topsy-turvy this year is. Marcus, they're a good program. They've had good seasons lately, but they lost so many people, so many big stars from last year's team that I'm surprised how successful they are so early. You know, what they lost to Bowie by 1 point, they'd be undefeated if they hadn't lost
Bowie's
that. And Bowie's undefeated.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Bowie is another good story. They've had a lot of success in the last decade, but the last couple of years, it's been a little tougher for them, and now they're undefeated. We mentioned Allen, that they might not get challenged other than by Denton Guyer. I think one of the big surprises for me is Plano East so far. Mm-hmm. And we're not in district yet, so, you know, nothing counts for sure. But I did not think Plano East would be 1-2 after three games.
I can't figure out Arlington Martin and SGP, the two teams that played each other last week. You know, SGP, God, I hate myself for this. I'm in for it. Who'd they lose to in week two?
SGP, well,
good question.
I'm going to look it up. And like, because the game's
open,
like,
the season with a win over Arlington.
I believe they lost to Arlington Lamar 37-7.
Yeah, it was pretty convincing. Yeah. And so, like, you get so high and low on teams after each week. And, like, after Martin crushed Skyline, we were, like, singing Martin's praises. And Martin's now, what, 1-2?
Yep. Yeah.
So it's like, I can't – it's very hard to figure out some of these teams because you don't quite know what's a good win and what's a bad loss.
Well, yeah. Especially early in the season, we're basing a lot of – this team has been good. What are they like this year?
Yeah.
And when Martin absolutely dismantled Skyline, I thought, well, man, Martin's really got stuff together. Because Martin has a lot of replacement parts this year, too. But Skyline, this is a true rebuilding season for them. They're 0-3. And so, you know, I think Martin is competitive, but they're not as good as we thought they were after week one when they, you know, obliterated Skyline.
And, like, South Lake Carroll's a team that beat Martin in week two, and now they're kind of on the up, you know, the up. And like, we were a little down on them after week one where they lost to Broken Arrow, like, pretty
Union.
I mean,
Tulsa Union.
They lost
to
Union.
Tulsa Union, I'm
You're
sorry.
Right. Yep.
And I think now they're kind of, like, on the up and up with a lot of people and looking a lot better each week.
Well, I think that first week with Tulsa Union and South Lake, that was definitely kind of an adjustment. I mean, how many yards of offense did they lose from the previous year? And then, you know, in Tulsa Union, I mean, I talked to a couple of coaches. They said that's one of the best teams in the country. That's really not getting that credit. I think I've kind of, you know, as you know, being my first year here, I've kind of had a cool take to really kind of see, you know, I kind of came in thinking that there's a conventional, you know, top, these teams are going to be top, you know, and it kind of seems like it. And each week I feel like when I'm at my games, I'm checking Twitter and I'm just like, oh, wow, this team is surprising. This team is surprising. So it's really wide open. I mean, kind of like what you mentioned with Katy losing, going 1-2 in the first three games. So.
And the other thing is we've had so many key injuries.
Yeah.
I mean, we still haven't seen, we saw Cedar Hill against an unbelievable team in the first week. And then Avery Davis hasn't played since then. They've won twice, but, you know, I'm sure there's some people who say, well, you know, they had to come back against Mansfield and they did win big last week. Although Horn didn't have its quarterback either. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing that has been really interesting. Or something that stood out in the first few weeks. We just had a lot of key injuries. Hopefully, you know, they're not the kind of things that are going to keep guys out forever. But again, talking from the state view, I mean, Austin Westlake, their first week, they're defending runner-up. You can't be defending runner-up. A finalist from last year. And then they lose Sam Ellinger in their first game when they're beating Katy. And I don't know if he's coming back this year.
Yeah, he had surgery. Originally, he said he wasn't going to have surgery. Then he had the surgery. So he's out for the foreseeable future.
Very indefinite, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. Now, one of those teams that we haven't really mentioned, off to a good start, Rowlett dominates Plano 31-7 this week, 3-0 on the season, coming off of a strong year last year, and really trying to kind of assert themselves in that Garland district. And on the phone right now, Rowlett coach Doug Stevens. Coach, coming off a big win over Plano, 3-0 on the season. We'll get into that. But first of all, when is the last time you talked with Homer B. Johnson?
Oh, well, I see Homer on a weekly basis. He's still around. Obviously, everybody knows he's going to retire. About 89 years old, 68 years in the district. That's amazing. I heard a story when he went down to TRS to retire. They didn't believe him because they didn't have records that went back that far. And if you think about it, there was nothing electronically, so everything had to be in a hard copy written form. But I think they got it all worked out. But, yeah, Homer and I visit on a weekly basis.
You're going to have a celebration for him October 28th. But just what's his kind of impression of your team?
Well, yeah. You know, Homer's pretty opinionated. So he's going to tell you what he thinks, what's on his mind at all times, wherever he's at. I think he's happy with who we are and where we are. And, of course, he's supportive and wants us to do very good. So, he'll be around. He's not going anywhere. He's still going to keep his office and still show up every day and drink coffee with all the locals.
So. Well, Coach, you said last week after the Plano game that you kind of felt like you're a running team right now, playing good defense and kind of doing some of those things. I thought you guys passed the ball pretty well in that game too, but kind of assess your team after 3 weeks. Are you guys where you want to be, or are you certainly going in the right direction?
Well, I think we're headed in the right direction. That's a good thing to say. Are we where we need to be? Now, you know every coach in the country is going to say no, and no one's ever going to be satisfied totally. But I will tell you sincerely, we're playing good defense. We're getting better on offense. Our ability to throw the football obviously is going to be key as we get down the road, simply because, you know, we don't want to be a one-dimensional football team. And so we're happy. I think we can play a lot better as far as assignment football goes. And, more than that, I think our kids just are gaining confidence and they're believing in what we're doing.
So you had to replace Logan Bonner from last year. He was your starting quarterback, went to Arkansas State. Just what is kind of the feeling when you have a guy who's a Division I guy and then you have to kind of start all over again?
What's the feeling? Well, it's lonely. you feel like, with Logan, of course, I put so much responsibility on him, like you would anybody who's a three-year guy. And so as we move forward, though, you prepare yourself for that. And we even had a meeting offensively, and I'm telling all the coaches, look, we're not going to be who we were. And I don't care if the same people showed up from the same kids that started last year. Every year is a different year, even with the same kids. And so you have to look back. You can reflect a little bit about the way it was, but that's not going to help you out. You need to move forward and realize these are the kids we have. And our kids are getting better at the quarterback position, and so I'm happy with that. They've got a long way to go, and I'm going to continue to coach them hard, and they'll keep responding, I hope, and we'll get better because of that. Logan's one of those kids that, he finished, I don't know what he was, top 10 in most yards.
Everything.
In the state of Texas, whatever it was, right. So, those kids don't come around, and you can't worry about that, and I'm happy for him and his future and all that, but looking here and now for the Rowlett Eagles, we've got to have better play from our quarterback, and I think we will.
Coach, it seemed like last year you guys were able to win a lot of games by kind of just outgunning the other team. I mean, putting up over 50 points, as I recall, pretty consistently. This year you guys beat Louisville 20-17. You edge Rockwall 34-32. Last week against Plano, a little bit bigger of a margin. But has it been an adjustment for the coaching staff to just win games in different ways where you guys are, kind of edging out teams and it's not necessarily getting up into those 40s and 50s?
Well, absolutely. I think, as I just referred to earlier, you have to adjust according to your personnel and your team. And last year we could run and gun, as you said. We had those type of kids. And this year I think, we have a very strong defense, and so we don't necessarily need to gamble either and take those kinds of chances because we don't have to. We need to move some chains, and we need to control the clock. Now, we're going to continue to be aggressive, obviously, and the further we get down the road, I think the better we'll be, the more aggressive we'll be. But right now, all that we need to do is go out there and put our kids in a position to be successful and play good football and not worry about we're going to put the game on your shoulders, quarterback, or we're going to, you know, while we're in this situation, you know, we'd have to depend just on one side of the ball, and I don't want to do that. Our special teams have been very strong. We feel real good about all three aspects. Therefore, once again, you know, our kicker's been great. He's won clutch situations, made some good field goals for us, and so I think overall we're better. Now, in the long run, like I said, we have to get better offensively, but you don't feel like you have to press when you have good special teams and a good defense.
Coach, you mentioned that every year's team is different. Is there anything you learned about this year's team through three games that maybe you didn't expect kind of coming into the season?
Well, you know, coming into the season, and I hammered them all spring about complacency. We have this is a senior-laden team, about a bunch of veterans. I think we have 9 or 10 three-year guys on this team, and not very many teams can say that. They played as sophomores, and now they're third year, and so I was worried about complacency, thinking that we've arrived and those kids wouldn't work as hard or wouldn't feel like they need to work as hard because they've earned something and they really haven't yet. And I think that's the one area I've been pleased with. I've pretty much forgotten those speeches because they do work hard. And so far during the games, they've really given out a lot of great effort, which is really all you could ask for.
I want to go back to something you just mentioned a little earlier about your kicker and how good he is. It seems like Rowlett always has a good kicker. Where do you find these guys?
Well, I don't mean to let's just say this. You know, we have a great kicking coach, Clark McMurtry, and he's also our soccer coach. And I'll tell you what, they spend hours a day. And if you can imagine how you could kick a football, he's probably teaching them that. They kick it every different kind of way. And so he's very good at charting everything. And we have deep snappers. I look over there one time, you could almost feel a football team just with the kickers and the deep snappers. We've got a very unique situation here for high school in Rowlett. And so I'm very pleased. You know, actually the stable that we have of kickers, we ought to be pretty good for the next few years. And I don't know that I've done anything. I want to give the credit to Clark. But kids know in this area, in Garland GISD, you know, if you want to be a good kicker, you come to the best school, I think, that has the best kicking, and that would be Rowlett. And I say that because of Clark.
Obviously, in the high school level, kicking can be shaky. Just how much easier do you rest knowing you have a solid guy there at kicker?
You know, first of all, let's just talk about that big old white elephant. No one likes kickers. Okay? Is there anybody that likes kickers? No. And I have started to think that one day soon I might change my mind, because over the 4 years I've been here, you know, the second year I was here, we had two kids go Division I in high school. Who has that? It'll never happen. And so I just really kind of enjoy it. You know, it's fun to watch sometimes people pregame watching your kickers. That's unusual. I sleep a little better. I don't worry about the kickers. I'll put you that way. We're always going to worry about this and that, but it does give me a little peace.
We should just give a shout out to Josh Aldana, your kicker, today or this year. Just for you and just your season, just how much does momentum carry over? You're in your fourth year now, went under 500 your first year, and now over 500 past two, and now 3-0 this year. Just how much does momentum kind of for a program carry over in that situation?
Oh, I think it's big. I think it's large. I think you can look at a lot of places. And you know, the program wasn't broke when I got here. Kiff Harden has done a good job before I got here. I think everything was in place. And the one thing I think every head coach wants is, by the time, you know, I've been here 4 years, as you mentioned, so these kids who come to school, the community, the parents, they pretty much know who we are, as far as this is our program, here's what we stand for, these are the things that we're going to not allow or allow, whatever they might be. And so your kids are going to be responsible for this. And I think everybody understands that at this point. It's fun to be around a bunch of seniors. My first class, actually, these seniors, they were here when I was a freshman. And it's fun to watch them grow. But it's also fun, you know, I hear kids chirping to other kids sometimes. When something will happen, that kid, you turn to that kid and go, now you know better than that. You're fixed to get it. So when they start self-policing themselves, I think that's when you really see a big difference.
Awesome, awesome. Well, Rollett got Keller Fossil Ridge this week. Is that correct?
Yep.
That's right.
Yeah, so
yes, we do.
We'll see you on Friday, and thanks for joining us, Coach. Appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate you guys. Appreciate what y'all do for high school football.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Let's move on to week number 4 and the greatest game that has been invented this season. The nobody believes in this game.
Is it still sweeping the nation?
The momentum has slowed slightly because we keep picking wrong games.
Do we have like a we have a map of like a colored map? Well, it's really seeping into the northern region.
Like a temperature thing.
How about this? Yeah. I don't believe in the nobody believes in us game.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So
sleeping on it.
Last week, well, I established rules last week. Matt, you had to leave.
That's
so,
right.
Basically, 1 point if you pick an underdog and it wins, you get 1 point.
Okay.
Now you can double that if you pick them in your newspaper picks.
Oh, okay.
So you can get 2 points. Now 3 points.
You just fake it. You get 1 point.
Yeah.
You're just saying it for the moment.
That's what I do.
All right.
Yeah. And then 3 points if someone actually says, like, nobody believes in us, they were sleeping on us, the haters, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And then 5 points if anybody references the podcast.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you're going to keep tabs on all this?
Yes.
Okay.
You'll
yes.
notice you get the most points if somebody references the podcast.
Well, I mean, like, in the, they have to reference the specific game. They can't just be like, oh, I listened to the podcast. No, it'd be like, oh, you picked us.
All right.
You're the greatest.
Are there going to be, like, tampering charges if you, like, tweet at them, like, hey, I picked you for Nobody Believes in Us on this podcast?
Yeah, so link let us here. Hear it. Mention the podcast. I need points.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not against tampering.
Mike, do you know who's winning right now?
It's a 0-0-0-0 game.
Awesome. Sweet.
After 3 weeks.
Right.
Well, I mean, I just started. I didn't go back and, like, look. So, I mean, the first two were mostly season-long type deals and kind of in and out. So I just went with last week, and I picked Rockwall. They put up a good fight, but eventually fell to South Lake Carroll. Joe had Mansfield Timberview.
That didn't go very well.
No, they got shut out. And then Avi had Ennis. 30-point loss.
I didn't think they were going to win.
Waxahachie's good. It was very good.
Yeah, so.
Just entered the state ranked top 10.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, coming in at number 10, Waxahachie. I have them at number 8, I think, or number 7 on my AP poll.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a little higher on them than the rest of the state, but maybe I'm a homer. Who knows?
Name their quarterback.
Bryce Solick.
Oh, very good. I couldn't do that like
oh,
last
really?
Week.
Name the long snapper.
Oh, that's a good question. He might be translating to Rollett.
You can just
kind of
come up
I'm
with a name because I'm not going to be able to verify that.
Jalen Rieger is the long snapper. Just does everything.
Okay, so, I mean, do we have – who wants to go first with their Nobody Believes in Us team for week 4?
I can go first.
Okay. Not very exciting.
I'll take the torch.
The excitement has waned after our defeats.
I don't think our game's going to be sweeping much further after this
no.
one.
No.
We'll come back next week.
Somebody's got to get one. Somebody will get one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Midlothian going up against Mansfield Legacy. I think Mansfield Legacy, who's 2-1 and lost 59-41 to Aledo last week, I think they're a pretty good team. And then Midlothian might have the coolest jerseys in America because mm-hmm. of the USA jerseys. I don't know if that's a season-long thing.
I don't think. We'll see.
That was a 9/11 weekend thing, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm
oh,
not
yeah.
sure. Although if they were that cool, I'd say pull them out again.
Yeah.
It's not like America. Oh, no, we're going to honor America again. You will not.
And they did lose, though, so.
There is that.
Yeah, so it's not like it's a good luck.
One week,
thing.
The University of Maryland had the Star-Spangled Banner on their jerseys, and I was just like, you're driving the Star-Spangled Banner into the turf. Like, if Bama wore them, like, yeah, this thing's, like, flying high, but it's like, oh, Maryland's getting crushed by somebody. It's not very good showing.
So, yeah, and, I mean, Midlothian lost by 1 point to McKinney, you know, 12 seconds left in the game, touchdown. So
2-point conversion.
Yeah. So That's who I'm going with, Midlothian. I'm jumping off the Timberview bandwagon this week.
After they let you down on back-to-back weeks. Midlothian with a kind of wonky offense, a lot of triple option, that kind of stuff. That could come into play there. Matt, who are you going with?
Well, I should say, first off, this is not a great week for the Nobody Believes in This game.
That's true.
Nobody believes in this week.
Well, because there's not – it's hard. And the one I picked, I'm basing it on – before the season, I would say North Mesquite would have been a heavy favorite over Mesquite.
I agree.
And but North Mesquite did drop a game to Garland Lakeview, and Mesquite. I think both teams are 2-1. Mesquite has a win over Lake Highlands, and also they lost to Sachse. That's right. But anyways, and Mesquite also beat Garland. I think this is a district game because this is an odd district in that they have to start district without a bye week in front for everybody. I think this is going to be a big opportunity for Mesquite, which I think has played pretty well through 3 weeks, to get a win. And I really haven't decided if I'm going to pick Mesquite or North Mesquite for my picks, despite the point potential that is there.
You have the chance to double down.
Right. That's right. But I think it's going to be a really good game. And I think it's that district's going to be really interesting to watch throughout the season. So I'll take Mesquite.
Mesquite, running back Chance Fisher. Given name is Lazarus, which is cool. One of the fastest players in the area. So I like him. I like him. Anthony Tennyson is their quarterback. They're two kind of dynamic players. So, yeah, they got a lot to go up against with the Jacquez Gooch on the other side. The Gooch is
Miniweather.
And Miniweather.
And Drayson Miniweather. Yeah. So, should be an interesting one. I'm not sure who I would pick in that game, at least right now. I'm going to have to make a pick eventually. But, Avi, who is your pick?
I'm going to go with the Jackets of Rockwall, the folks who loved us picking against them last year in the playoffs, which I told them you're welcome for the free motivation, as is every week. This week they go up against Tyler John Tyler. And for those of you who don't know, Tyler John Tyler is a very, very good football team. They're probably going to win that district. And honestly, this game might be for district. That's the kind of newly created hybrid where you get Tyler John Tyler. Tyler Lee is in there. Rockwall's in there. What's the other district?
Longview and then the Mesquite schools.
Longview and then the Mesquite schools, right. That's who I was forgetting. So they start district this week, and Rockwall and Tyler John Tyler are right there towards the top. And Rockwall is kind of like this sleeping giant sort of thing. Maybe not a giant, but at least a larger person than normal.
Certainly better than their record.
Right. They're 0-3, and we're kind of just waiting for them to have that breakout game. They lost. I mean, they've had close losses. It's not like they've been, you know, blown out. They lost to Rowlett by 2-34-32. Rockwall's got the ponies in the stable. They just gotta get everything to click together, and this could be the week that they do it. So we'll see.
Yeah, you mentioned, picked against them a lot in the playoffs last year. They went 0-3 to begin the season last year, then went on that deep playoff run. So
I think it was the longest or tied for the longest in program history. I don't know. I had to look that up.
That's
anyway.
The kind of research we do here.
Mm-hmm. Flork, what's your pick?
I'm looking at Sauk Carter. Who's the favorite in this game, do you think?
I would say Sauk still, but I don't know.
Yeah, I'd make Sauk. Well, I'd have to look at do some of that research after the show.
Sauk's had a hard schedule.
But Sauk, yeah, they do usually play a pretty tough schedule. And Carter, which just blew out of the gates early, mm-hmm. and then they struggled to beat Kimball.
Yeah.
And I thought they would win big in that game.
I'm still taking Carter here. I like the talent they have. They have one of the best players, one of the best underclassmen, Jarrell Cherry. Everyone's looking at him. So
I like their running back. Who's their running back?
I don't have him. Oh, Bernard Goodwin?
Yeah.
Maybe? Yeah, so I'm going to take them and roll the dice a little Saturday action for you guys. So
6 p.m. Kincaid Stadium.
Ooh. Yeah, a little Saturday action. So that will add some spice to your college football watching on Saturday. You can check in and see if my pick is right. Let's just look outside of the Nobody Believes in This game. Obviously, the game of the week here, Denton Ryan, Frisco Lone Star. Ryan is number 3 in the AP rankings for 5A. Lone Star moves up to number 5 this week. Matt, just what are you kind of looking at here?
Well, it's been interesting that Ryan, I think they've come back in all 3 of their first games. That doesn't mean that they were real close right down to the wire, mm-hmm. but they've played as tough a non-district schedule probably as anybody in 5A or certainly up there. So they're very tested. Lone Star, They're an interesting deal. They've got so many great offensive weapons that I really love, starting with Jason Shelley, their quarterback. Their defense has been a little bit like last year, a little bit off and on. I think it can be really good sometimes, and they've got some great players like Nick Bolton out there. It'll be interesting to see what they can do against that Denton-Ryan offense, because Ryan's offense has kind of started slow. And
they're a second-half team.
So I think it's going to be a close game. I will pick Ryan. They were my number one team in the preseason, so I'm probably sticking with that. But Lone Star is a very good team. And this is, I love these kind of games too, because, you know, it's non-district, obviously. Denton Ryan is headed for the Division I bracket, eventually 5A D1. And Lone Star is going to be 5A, I believe 5A D2. So, you know, they may not play again, but they could go deep in the playoffs. And I think it's a fun little preview of some of our top playoff teams.
Yeah, I think just having the fact that Ryan has come back just kind of really shows their depth and just how much they're able to kind of wear teams out and really have the horses at the end to figure it out. So I think that's the biggest challenge for Lone Star when in terms of just keeping it up throughout the game when Ryan has the waves to hit you. Elsewhere, I mean, well, Avi, you want to
say something? I was just going to say real quick, I haven't been like wholly impressed by like Lone Star's non-district schedule. Like, I think like Ryan's played some really good teams. They played Lancaster, they played Poteet, and they played, who'd they play last?
Wiley East,
which, you know, all three are pretty good teams. I mean, Lone Star had to open up against Frisco Heritage, which wasn't really up to them. They just had to because of the Star deal. Timberview, pretty good team. And then Lovejoy last week. I just think that Lone Star hasn't been tested the way that Denton Ryan has been tested.
Joe, what are you looking at here this week?
I mean, you got to look at Denton Ryan and Frisco Lone Star. I'm curious. I mean, Jason Shelley in week two kind of struggled against Timberview. And then Timberview gave 31 points to Highland Park. But he had a nice game, a nice bounce-back game last week. So I'm curious to see how he does against Denton Ryan's defense this week. And, yeah, this week's a little limited in regards to firepower on the schedule. But that game's going to be good. Highland Park, and just I'm curious to see how they kind of continue. John Stephen Jones, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I always get those three-part names confused. So, yeah, I'm curious to see how he does, too, this week against Lovejoy, who Frisco Lone Star kind of handled last week.
Yeah, I mean, just the other game I'm really kind of looking at, Manfield, Lake Ridge, Lancaster, district opener, 10-5A.
That's a good game, too, yep.
Yeah,
and so, that district is a monster.
Exactly, yeah. So we should kind of learn a lot about both teams and kind of where they might fit in the district there. Other than that, as Joe said, a lot of 6A teams on byes getting ready for district, and then we'll see.
Summit and Hatchie could be interesting. I think those are two good teams.
Yeah, all the Mansfield schools pretty much are pretty good.
Yep.
Yeah, so go to sportsdayhs.com, at sportsdayhs on Twitter, facebook.com/sportsdayhs.
Wow, that was good. That was fast.
Yeah. Instagram, sportsdayhs. Anything else? Anything else we should
do? Man, I don't know. I'm so tired.
Okay, that's it.
Avi's falling asleep.
I am.
So. For Matt, for Joe, for Avi, for me, we'll see you Friday night.